Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, this is Wayne Benitez of It Factor Radio. The wrestling It Factor Radio is full effect. Yes, we are waiting on offer, model, and wrestling personality, Diana Hart. Yeah, she will talk about her new book, Kylie Fowler, I'm Hart. Cauliflower Heart. And also her stories with her family, and her Hart family, and Stampede, wrestling in WWE and other ventures. So, we're about to do a commercial break and we'll be right back.
go ahead, pop off, me and my clique put on. I'm like a young McMahon, I'm here to get your bitch off. Like I'm Ripley, middle finger to the big boss. Man, aka police, get them over your head like it's all. Chill these niggas, that's no problem. Chill these niggas, want no problem. That chopper body like Hornswoggle, can't see you shot him like Sin Cara. Rolling rap with that shit loud, it ain't mine if that shit not. Ladies hate when I rip rude, but they in love with this Jake. It's like nah, say hello to my python. I'm CM Punk with that mic, y'all. She go to sleep cause my pipe bomb. Winning, blessed I be hurting feelings. Niggas is Curtis Axel, my rap is like Kurt Henning. In it, don't it, I'm such a charmer. Come crown Vic, not talking whip, I'm thinking Lawler. Cause I'm royalty, but we talking cars, it's not a problem. Just bought two big bodies, call them Kamala and Umaga. What up? You're talking to the black guy. My gang real, but I ain't never been no vampire. Look at all that ice he got on. Bigger than that icy title. Picking out my pill, man, cause I still feel like I'm flying Brian. Who high as I am? Who fly as I am? Life is a bitch, well, you this rich is more than likely China. Get it? Strong ass hoe. They can say they want that smoke. Well, I'm Papa Shango. Like I'll be hyper playing low. Get the ganja, no steamboat. And I fly as a crossbody, but I'm tired of saying so. So I do so with new producers and a slew of my latest verses. And a ruthless like Rusev move or be through with you niggas first. Get back to work. You talking to the bad guy. Yeah, Chico, you talking to the. Yeah, Chico, you're talking to the bad guy. I'm too sweet. I dare you niggas act fly. Yeah, Chico, you're talking to the bad guy. Yeah, Chico. Yeah, Chico, you're talking to the bad guy. Truth picking your eyes. I'm that guy. Hey, y'all. Look, something happened to me, something happened to you, okay? Hey, y'all. Don't look like no Daniel B where they seeing me as a ghost. Look, hey yo. Something happened to me, something happened to you, okay? Hey yo. You counting your little B's, my nigga, my G's mo. Can I bother you with this rhyming, man? I'm five at niggas with rhyming. Heard they talking right from the sideline, like a part of me been declining. Nigga, argue often with liars. Beside that, I got no choice. Rather be Heath Slater before I make it a doink. My point, I'd rather job than have my morals expire. Niggas getting back they brosses, I ain't toured in a while. Is you mad or not? Nah? Is you rapping her out? She wrapped my cigar. Light it up because I'm grateful I just made it this far. God is pale in comparison. It's a shame, it's a problem. I'm so over forever. Now my stadium is pop. Niggas sweet like they really real, but be faker than raw. Oh nah, they flaw. I got it. Oh please, Dwayne Johnson been number two around these parts. Oh nah, you know why? Cause most of my OGs in the 80s made a movie with Rock. Stop. Stop talking to the bad guy. Yeah, Chico, you're talking to the. Yeah, Chico, you're talking to the bad guy. I'm too sweet. I dare you niggas act fly. Yeah, Chico, you're talking to the bad guy. Yeah, Chico. Yeah, Chico, you're talking to the bad guy. Toothpick in your eye, boy, don't ask why.
Gentlemen, welcome to Wrestling It Factor Radio. It's an honor to have my special guest. She's a model, she's an author, and also I'm a member of the Hart family, wrestling personality. Give it up for Diana Hart.
There. Hi.
Hey, welcome to Wrestling It Factor Radio.
Hi, thank you for having me on your show.
It's an honor. You're welcome. And can you tell me about your new book, Kali Flower Heart?
Yeah, it's the second in my Cauliflower Heart trilogy. It's called Cauliflower Heart Wrestling with Life. And Cauliflower Heart, sort of a play on words with cauliflower ear, which a lot of wrestlers get. And but it's to do with the heart, not my last name Heart, but the heart that you love with, you know, that how it gets hurt in wrestling as well, just through relationships and disappointment. And yeah, so it's coming out any day. We're sort of little aggravations. It should have been out in June, but it's due out any day. I was just talking to my publisher in West Virginia yesterday about she's just changing a color on the cover, and after that, I think it's ready to go. I'm ready to approve just about any color at this point. But it continues on with Claudine, the protagonist, dealing with life after a huge tragedy that happens to her and her family in book one, to a wrestler who happens to be her husband, and it's how she's carrying on and moving on, and the rest of the family from that point. But it's got a lot of twists in it, and romance, and some very good fight scenes that I had my son Harry pen. Actually, you know, he helped me write them. He was very helpful in getting these, making it clear, you know, because some readers who aren't wrestling fans, who like the book, don't understand what some of the holds are. So it's been doing really well. It's won 5 awards. It won an international reader's favorite, and it won the Reader's Choice in Hollywood, and won an independent book award, and won one in London. So it's doing really well as far as awards go, and I'm looking forward to getting the third one finished so we can release that next year. Are you familiar with any of the Cauliflower Heart books, Wayne?
I'm not familiar of it, but I've been noticing also.
Yeah, well, it's a great book. I mean, the whole story is I think if you write what you know about, you can write about it well. And I certainly know wrestling from being a daughter. From a very exceptional set of parents, my mom and dad, Stu and Helen Heart, and being the sister to a lot of brothers who wrestled, but in particular Owen and Brett, and being the wife of another outstanding wrestler, Davey Boy Smith, and being involved in wrestling with the Heart Foundation, and then being the mom to Harry, a.k.a. Davey Boy Smith Jr., I think I have a pretty good vantage point that I don't know of anyone else, any other female in the world that has that. I think it gives me a lot of credibility.
Yeah, what was it like growing up in the Heart family?
Oh, it was awesome. It really was. It was even when things were very hard for my family, it was still a life of privilege because I had such a great family. Coming from, you know, being one of 12 children and having a wrestling business as morally run as my mom's and dad's was, right out of our house, was pretty neat. You know, they ran it as a family business with family values, and I met a lot of really interesting people, and you know, through thick and thin, I made lifelong friends, and really am so proud to be one of the hearts. You know, just being the baby girl of the 12 kids was a pretty good spot to be in. Owen and I were the last two of the kids, so we were really doted over and protected, and that was pretty neat having that security.
Right. And also, can you tell me about your past bullying in school?
Oh, yeah, there was, I think people look for targets, you know, easy targets, you know, go for the underdog. And, you know, a lot of times we were, you know, we were the country kids. We didn't grow up in the city with, so I just wasn't really familiar with what people in the city did. You know, what we did in the country was really different, but the only school that we could go to was in the city. We were bused in, and you know, growing up with wrestling, just because people didn't understand or don't understand wrestling, or think that it's easier than it is, because I don't know, I guess because they can't do it. You know, they're ignorant, so they bully. You know, they didn't. I mean, I didn't. I got probably the least of it out of all my brothers and sisters, but I did get enough of it to be resentful and feel like I was. Like, there was no need for that. You know, I didn't do anything to any of these kids other than just want to go to school and be friends with people. But, you know, they just right away want to start teasing you about, you know, things that they don't even know anything about. You know, saying that my dad was fake and my dad ran a phony business. And when we were poor, too, you know, we just had the clothes that whatever are hand-me-downs, so a lot of the clothes were pretty worn out. My clothes weren't as bad as some of my brothers and sisters. They got, I mean, they were wearing shorts in the wintertime that we got from the Salvation Army. They were Army shorts, but that's, I guess, leotards underneath the shorts, but that's all that my parents could afford at the time, but you know, these kids and their families that, you know, they had no idea what it was like to raise 12 kids. You know, they're coming from, you know, a family of four, including the parents. You know, they had no idea what my mom and dad had to sacrifice, or all of us, for that matter. But it was very, I suppose, makes a thicker skin for us and made us tougher, but we were sensitive because my mom and dad were very compassionate people, so it hurt. And, you know, I've never, you know, I've gotten over it, I guess. Even though I'm talking about it right now, I've gotten over it, but I've never, never had that mindset where I got bullied, so I'm going to bully somebody. You know, because that's sort of what happens in bullying is, you know, one person gets bullied, so they take it out in a form of bullying, and they bully the next person. You know, it's just, it's, that's, I just try to be nice to everybody, but if someone isn't going to be nice to me, I'll fight back, but I'm not going to, I'm not a bully. You know, it's just a cruel way to be, you know, and my mom and dad never raised us to be like that. So, you know, despite everything, all of our hard times and stuff, we never retaliated the way a lot of kids that were more fortunate behaved. You know, they probably had a very deluxe lifestyle, and how they turned good things that were happening in their own lives into bullying, you know, I just don't know. But I suppose maybe they had their own issues that I'll never know about. But it all starts somewhere, I guess. That I just, you know, I don't, I guess I'm not healthy enough to say that I understand bullying, because I don't, but, you know, or that I don't have any resentment. I still do, but hopefully I'm a better person for it. I think I am. I don't know. I guess that's a positive thing I can take out of it. But yeah, it was pretty bad though. I mean, almost every day getting someone wanting to fight me or kick me around or steal things from me or make fun of me or, you know, and, you know, it's just hard on your self-esteem when you go through that on a daily basis. But, you know, now a lot of them want to be my buddies, you know, want to go out on dates with me. It's just funny. But, yeah. Have you ever been bullied, Wayne?
I would say, yeah, definitely in high school also. Even with the with my love of pro wrestling right there also.
Oh.
And, yeah.
Yeah, it's not fun, you know, to say the least. It's
right.
A lousy thing, and happens everywhere, all ages, and I just, you know, it can be very devastating. It can even, you know, lead to tragic results, you know, with somebody, you know, taking their own life or taking someone else's the life of the person that was bullying them or something, you know, and just very a real domino effect in a negative way if you know, depending on the personality of the person being bullied and the person doing the bullying and all those around, you know, like teachers and stuff. I remember hearing about teachers with my older brothers and sisters that definitely turned a blind eye to what was going on with the bullying with my sisters, and didn't do one thing about it. They just almost encouraged it, and it ended up with my older brothers coming to the school and my younger, like Brett, who was younger than my sister Georgia, having to fight one of these older kids. But it ended up in quite a fight at the school, at the junior high school. And, you know, it was just, you know, and Brett stepped up to the plate to fight a guy that was two grades older than he was, and one of my brothers from the high school came to, actually all, I think four of my brothers did, from the old, four of my oldest brothers. But anyway, yeah, I was proud of them, and it's funny how that, a good thing that came out of that was my, one of my brothers ended up going out with one of the girls that was watching from the sidelines, and she was a really popular girl, and she was just head over heels in love with my brother after she saw him stick up for his sister. And they dated for a long time, and she's still a good friend of the family. So, and she kind of took my sisters under her wing, and she was a really popular girl, and she took my sisters under her wing, and was, and I think it helped stop a lot of the bullying that, as far as the girls went. Boys still picked on them, but, and that was pretty bad too. It wasn't just girls picking on girls, it was boys picking on the girls, which was pretty unfair, but girls can be pretty ruthless as well with their nasty remarks. But,
right.
Yeah. But I found wrestling to be a nice outlet, like a very a safe haven for a lot of people that, and I'm not sure why, but I found that growing up that a lot of the people that grew to love my family were would talk to my dad or my brothers and about how they were bullied, and that going to the wrestling matches every Friday with their grandfather or their father or their good friends was a really good outlet for them, and they felt safe there, and that's very rewarding. You know, that's because my mom, it was my mom and dad that were putting on that show, so you know, they can pick on, they could have picked on us all they wanted, but I don't think that their parents were getting people coming to see them or, you know, going to them like, I, you know, it's just like, say what you will about my, back then, about wrestling or my mom and dad or, we were the ones that people would go to when they needed a safe haven. Or the Stampede Wrestling, I guess, is what I'm saying. Not, I don't think these kids or their parents were especially heroic for complete strangers, you know, going, you know. Do you know what I mean, Wayne?
True, yeah.
Yeah. So what city are you in?
In Baltimore. Baltimore.
Right. Oh, is Baltimore?
That
that's not where Stacey Keibler is from, is it?
Right. It wasn't that long ago. Bret Hart was down here to see one of his close friends playing football for the Baltimore Ravens several months ago.
Oh, who is that?
I forgot the player's name on the Ravens.
Huh. Oh, well, I know Brett keeps in touch with, I think most of Brett's friends are long-term friends. You know, he tries to support them over the years, or he's got a good memory, too, and a good, he remembers faces. You know, he tries to maintain that. You know, it means a lot to him, so.
Can you imagine you and your sisters would end up marrying pro wrestlers?
Yeah, well, I was, because I got picked on so much in school, I had decided probably when I was about 15 that I wasn't going to marry anybody but a wrestler, or else I wasn't going to marry anyone that ever knocked wrestling. As it turns out, when I met Davey, I was 17 and he was 18, and he was just everything that I could have dreamed of. From his voice to his looks to how he wrestled to his attitude, I don't know, he was just, and he was only, you know, he was basically my age, and I thought that there wasn't anybody, you know, particularly these boys that picked on me for my whole life, that they couldn't hold a candle to him. So, you know, I'm just glad that Davey liked me back just as much. My sister's Ellie was when she met Jim. You know, it's funny, they didn't. He always liked her right from the minute he met her, but she didn't feel the same way about him. But he was relentless, and he kept kept asking her out. And after about a year, she finally said she would go out with him, and they had a really good time. They had fun, and she saw him in a different way than just the guy training with my dad in the basement. And my sister Georgia, her husband was the owner of the gym, and he was a boxer and a football player in Calgary. And he's from Boston, though. She and he hit it off quite well, but it wasn't until after they got married that he got into wrestling. He actually started really late in life when he was in his, I think he was 40. And I think it was just a goal of his to give it a try. So he did respectably well, but I think he just started a little too late. But he was very good at training the wrestlers, and he knew all about Olympic and powerlifting, Olympic lifting, and and their son wrestles now, their son Ted. And then my sister Allison married a guy that originally was going to be a fireman, but he's a pretty good hockey player, but he chose firefighting as his career and didn't make the fire department. And at this point, they were already married. He had been pretty good friends with my brothers, and he ended up becoming pretty natural at wrestling. And, you know, they had two daughters. None of their... I guess if the daughters had wanted to get into wrestling, they might have been good at it, but they didn't. All four girls married wrestlers. Either they became wrestlers or were wrestlers before they met. And kind of neat. I don't think my mom really wanted us to to get involved with wrestlers. But I think Davey, it was... I think all of them were pretty... pretty extraordinary athletes, despite whether they carried on in wrestling or not. They were all really good athletes, but Davey was, Davey was the best. You know, he was so talented, just so strong and athletic and acrobatic. And I see the gymnasts on the at the Rio Olympics, and I'm watching them. They're built kind of like Davey when I first met Davey, and I thought if Davey or Dynamite had ever wanted to pursue that kind of thing, they probably could have. Like, they probably could have gone on to being Olympic caliber gymnasts, but they chose wrestling. You know, it's just the same with Brett. You know, I think, and Owen, you know, they could have gone on to being, Brett probably could have played professional football, but he chose wrestling. They're all very exceptional, and it's no surprise to me that they went as far as they did in their wrestling careers, because they're so good at what they did. And it all, it stemmed from a strong wrestling background with a very good mentor, my father, and then very good wrestling promotion and good guys from all over the world to help break them in and teach them right from wrong. And, you know, many times it was a pretty rough go. You know, they never had it easy. They got the hell kicked out of them in many occasions when they were getting started, just as my dad did when he was getting started in training for the Olympics back before World War II. You know, it was no, nothing was given to any of them. But, yeah, it's pretty neat, again, and different thing, you know, another thing that with my family, you know, not all, for all four girls to have married wrestlers and all of the eight boys to have been involved in wrestling is just really a neat story.
Also, what was it like being involved in a WWE storyline with Davey Boy Smith and Shawn Michaels?
Oh, that was pretty nerve-wracking. the first time that Davey was put in a main event position since the Wembley Stadium days in '92, and that was right shortly after Brett left. Brett and Shawn had the Iron Match, and Brett was going on to pursue his acting career, and he had a role in the TV show Lonesome Dove. And, you know, I don't know that he was retiring, but I think some people thought that he was retiring, but he was certainly taking a break. And Davey was... you know, this opportunity to work with Shawn came up, and it was the main event, and it happened really fast, and I felt an obligation to, I was happy to be a part of it. I felt a bit of an obligation to my family to do it in an honorable way, and I think perhaps the storyline may have been getting a little more explicit than what my father was comfortable with. Although, you know, I don't know if... I mean, this was 95, 96, and... you know, like Generation X or whatever, D-Generation X, and all of that. That all started to come a little bit later, like 97, when things were getting more racy then. But this was sort of the beginning of it and maybe the cutting edge. And I don't know if my father was as comfortable with it as later on when the whole Hart Foundation, when Brett came back and the Hart Foundation became like a big team, you know, and it was like the Hart Foundation in Canada against the Shawn Michaels clique, and there was a lot of things that were quite shocking going on and all of that too, like Brett saying things about United States, and I know my mom was upset about that, but you know, I wish I had been able to pursue it with the intensity that I see now that it needed to go on. But it could have been it could have gone farther than it did, but that's, you know, we're just, you know, I was Diana Hart. I wasn't Sable or Sunny or Marlena. All of them have fictitious names, and no one knows who they really are. And, you know, I was Diana Hart, you know. So it was a little different. You know, it was a different set of circumstances. So for me to be, you know, having an affair with Shawn Michaels was, you know, a little bit maybe more than what my father was, you know, wanting to see for his daughter. But, you know, I was given a really, really unforgettable opportunity, and I did, you know, I played, actually I didn't play any role, I was just myself, but I did it as well as I could. You know, I wasn't supposed to be, you know, some hotshot wrestler or someone out there with, you know, doing kickboxing or, you know, trying to dress like a porn star or anything. I was Diana Hart, and that's what I was supposed to do. And I think it made the storyline extremely credible. And, you know, I just wish in hindsight that it could have gone on a little longer, but, you know, that's, you have to make a choice, though, and my father was not happy with where it was going, so that, and I, you know, so fair enough with that, you know, it's just, but, yeah, it was a great time, though, and I thought Davey and Shawn had fantastic matches, and, you know, there was one unfortunate time where there was a pay-per-view and the satellite dish got struck by lightning, or but it blew out the whole system for the pay-per-view, and they couldn't have their match, which was heartbreaking, you know. I just remember a lot of the wrestlers were so upset because they couldn't go on, but particularly Davey and Shawn, because they were the main event, and, you know, you don't get main event pay-per-views every day, you know, so that was, they had it again a couple of days later, but it wasn't the same, you know, they, you know, wasn't the same, it just wasn't the same, so, you know, unfortunate, but, yeah.
Also, what's your thoughts of your niece, Natty Neidhart, and her work at AWE?
I think she's doing well. She's a good wrestler. She's a really good wrestler. She's strong like her dad, and, you know, lovely girl. I would love to see her as world champion one day. Hopefully that will happen. Yeah, she's a great artist too. She has a very creative mind. So really does really nice paintings and stuff. But yeah, she's a real a lot like her dad with her strength, and she's just a powerhouse in the ring.
Right. And she's amazing on WWE Divas reality show that it shows her also more of a true side of Natty Neidhart also.
Yeah, you know, I don't get Total Divas up here in where I live. I have never seen the show. I don't get that program on my, you know, I only have certain, so most of the stuff that I watch are just old DVDs and stuff. I don't have TV, so I got fed up with TV a few years ago. So I haven't seen the show. I can't even say I know what's going on it. I mean, I have TV. I just don't have, like, a cable package. I'm just not interested in what the cable package was offering me at the time, so I decided to go without it and just watch my Dallas DVDs and old Stampede wrestling tapes and stuff of Harry wrestling in Japan. So,
any memorable road stories of Omaha doing practical jokes?
Oh, he was a killer on the road. Just never ending, you know. Even if you know, constantly, you know, I don't want to give all, like, talk about the old ones that everybody knows about. I'm trying to think of some new ones, but he was just a very innovative, and when he could do little things like hide behind a curtain, you wouldn't know that he was there, and, you know, he'd throw little peanuts at you, and you wouldn't be like, where are these coming from? And, you know, to the point where you're getting quite aggravated by it, where you get the firecrackers, the little ones, and set them off and throw them in, like, Jerry Briscoe's dressing room, shut the door. You know, you wouldn't be expecting it. You're in there maybe having a business meeting and someone, you know, throws a bunch of lit firecrackers in your office and slams the door really fast. And before you can even get, you know, put a stop to it, they've all gone off and, you know, 10 seconds of super high spot there. But you just hear Jerry Briscoe saying, "God damn it, Owen!" and stuff like that. But, yeah. But...
Also, you took up muscle and fitness.
Yeah, I am getting back into it again as we speak. I'm getting ready to. I'm training actually somebody for a contest, but I cracked my tailbone a couple of years ago and stopped doing a lot of what I was doing. But I love it. I love being in the gym. I really love lifting weights. I'm more of the traditional style where I do, you know, one or two body parts and cardio. I have done the circuit training and the, you know, that I like the circuit training. It's just I find it hard to do it on my own. And I don't want to have a trainer taking me through it every time either, because I have two trainers. I have one in Los Angeles and one in Miami, and I like to do what they tell me to do. But otherwise, when I'm on my own up here, I just can't get into it as much. So I revert back to the Davey Boy Smith style or my dad's style of training, where it's just... Well, Davies in particular was two body parts, three body parts. Train about four different exercises for the different muscles and move to the other body part, like chest and triceps or legs and shoulders or back and biceps or back and triceps sometimes to mix it up a bit or legs and chest. But anyway, you know, two body parts and do a variety of different exercises for those, and then do, 45 minutes of cardio of whatever. It could be a run outside, or it could be the stair machine, or biking, but something that gets your heart rate up, and And then the harder I work out, the more I can eat, and I love to eat, so you know I can kind of modify things, I don't have to be on a diet all the time to, if I eat the way I eat and don't work out, I might get a little bit portly. So, but yeah, I love it. I love working out, and a lot of, I think women should work out as much as they can with weights. A lot of women have the misconception that they're going to get bulky if they train with weights, so they just do cardio. But weights are so important for keeping your muscle density so you don't get osteoporosis. And actually, when you have muscle mass, you actually burn more calories. Your body burns more calories at a non-aerobic pace. You know, if you're just sitting at your desk, but you trained weights that day, you will burn more calories just sitting than if you had done just cardio, because your muscles require more energy than just and. But a lot of women think they shouldn't do weights because it's going to make them bulky. I hear it every day. Oh no, I don't do weights. I just do cardio, or I love Zumba. It makes your body look better too. But it was the closeness that I had with my dad and Davey, because they loved being in the gym, and I always feel like they're with me when I'm training. So,
we're running out of time. I'm so sorry, I'm Diana. Yeah,
oh no, no, I'm delighted that you gave me the platform here to talk about my life and my book. And you asked some great questions, and I hope I can be back on your show again another time.
Sure. Definitely. Come back anytime. Let's schedule another talk. Diana, you have a good evening.
Thank you very much. You as well. I just maybe just say if I could, if anyone's interested in my book or anything to do with me, they can contact me at my website, which is www.officialdianahart.com. I'd love to hear from you.
Awesome. Thanks for coming on Wrestling X Factor Radio.
Thank you very much. We'll keep in touch. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Diana Hart of the Hart family. And we're running out of time. You can catch this out at blogtalkradio.com/WrestlingXFactorRadio or on Facebook fan page at Wrestling X Factor Radio show/X Factor Entertainment Radio.